She's, you know, that personality is well established, right?
We call the House Committee on Healthcare to order for Wednesday, the 18th of February, and open up a public hearing on which one? First one?
Yes.
2642.
Yes.
Now, ask Representative Val Hoyle to join us while our administrator kicks off what this is about.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2642 creates a five-member board of certified laser estheticians within the Health Licensing Office. The members are appointed by the Health Licensing Office Director. It funds the advanced non-ablative aesthetics.
Aesthetic.
Yes.
Go Sandy.
And it establishes standards and requires the esthetician to be certified with the board to practice the advanced non-ablative esthetic procedures. It has a January 1, 2016 operative date.
Do you have any referral?
No, Mr. Chair.
And majority of you?
For the record, Val Hoyle. I represent House District 14, West Eugene, and Junction City. So I want to thank you very much, and I have to say this is one of the nicest experiences I've had since I've been in the House. This was brought forward by a constituent, and I didn't know that there were such issues with estheticians and what should be supervised and what was ablative and what wasn't ablative, but this was brought forward, and we worked collaboratively with the Oregon Health Authority and estheticians, really focusing on what's important for consumer protection and also to allow people to work at the top of their experience. This creates a board of certified advanced estheticians within the Health Licensing Office. The board members appointed would be appointed by the governor, requires two public members to be on the board, radiation protective services member on the board also as a non-voting member. This specifies a list of non-ablative procedures that advanced estheticians may perform, and there would be an advanced esthetician licensure. Non-ablative procedures are surface level treatments only, and there would be no diagnosis, so there's no medical diagnosis because that clearly should be done by a physician. This creates three pathways in order to receive an advanced esthetician's license. This would grandfather for up to one calendar year the people that are performing these procedures already, and they would need to fulfill education requirements. There could be temporary licensure resembling an apprenticeship model. There's strict supervision requirements, and these people would need to be supervised by an advanced esthetician. Currently, there's a number of amendments on this bill that will be available shortly that represent the final agreements between the Health Licensing Board and the estheticians. I think this is one of those processes that came out of a group that didn't quite understand what was happening, and through this we will have a better process. We'll have a better process so that people cannot practice without a license, so consumers are protected, and again, we're expanding the scope of practice and the understanding of the practice to keep up with the technology that we have now.
Thank you. Are there questions for the representative? Thank you very much. We have a large number of people waiting to testify in favor of this bill. I'm going to hold that until we get some other business out of the way, and that'll make sure we have enough room.
Okay.
Enough time for everybody.
Thank you very much. And again, working with these people has been a tremendous opportunity, and I'm looking forward for you to be able to hear from them as well.
Thank you, Representative. There's no which one has
Okay.
I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2419. We're going to do a
purple.
So when we have the amendments on?
Yes, we do.
We're going to do a little dance around this bill with some amendments and removing some amendments. Can you tell us where we are, Madam Chair, and what we're going to do now?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2419, you'll recall we had a public hearing on the 6th of February. This modifies the definition of health care interpreter, revises the membership of the Oregon Council of the health care interpreters to include a health care interpreter, also modifies other components within OHA, health care data reporting requirements, changes the Oregon health policy and research to the Oregon Health Authority. This also removes all the references to the Blue Mountain Recovery Center. On the 6th, we went into a work session to adopt the dash twos. During testimony, we received a request for a dash three. When we had the dash three amendments drafted, there was a slight change to the twos. So the three, we cannot just lay the three over the dash twos. So we will have a motion to reconsider the vote on the dash twos so we can move into the dash threes.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which the dash two amendments dated 2/4/15 were adopted.
Representative Dose moves we reconsider the vote by which the dash two amendments dated what?
2/4/15.
2/4/15. Be reconsidered. Is there any discussion? Do we need a roll call?
No.
No. No objection to this. We are now without the dash twos. If I have a motion for the dash three.
Yes, you may, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash three amendments from 2/11/2015.
Representative Nose moves we adopt the dash two amendments.
Yes,
dash three amendments dated 2/11/15. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? We now have a bill amended with the dash threes. We have another motion?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we pass House Bill 2419 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Notes moves that we adopt House Bill 2419 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Buehler?
Yes.
Representative Cohn?
Aye.
Representative Kennemer?
Excused.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. The motion passes. We have a volunteer to carry it.
Representative Widener.
Representative Widener will carry it. Thank you very much, Representative. Close the work session on House Bill 2419 and open a work session on House Bill 2297, which needs to get moved on to Ways and Means. Can you tell us what we have here, Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you'll recall we had a public hearing on the bill on February 4th. This creates a 15-member task force to build a more effective system for preventing children's behavioral, psychological, and health problems. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. The bill also specifies the task force membership's duties and responsibilities and reporting requirements. We have a dash one amendment. The dash one amendment it does not increase the membership of the task force. It just adds specific other areas to be considered for membership. That being community CCOs, community programs, and the Oregon Youth Authority. That's what's in the amendment. And there's no revenue, and there is a fiscal impact. It's indeterminate at this point because we don't know the actual cost to these agencies in providing the staffing levels that they will need for the task force, so it's indeterminate at this point.
Do we have a motion?
Chair Greenlee, I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated 2/12/15.
Am Vice Chair moves the dash two amendments dated 212. I'm sorry, the dash one amendment stated 212-15. Representative Hayden, thank you. Is there any discussion on that motion? Is there any objection to the motion? So moved. Representative Hayden?
Chair Greenlee, I move House Bill 2297 to amend to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Hayden moves House Bill 2297 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any objection? Please call the roll.
Representative Bueller?
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Tanner?
Excuse.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion passes and the bill is on with our blessing on its way to Ways and Means. I'm going to open a public hearing. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2297 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2696. What have we got here, Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2696 requires that the Oregon Health Authority collaborate with coordinated care organizations to develop uniform audit processes and forms to be used by the authority and the contractors of the authority. Requires the health authority to collaborate with the CCOs if the processes or forms require any changes.
And we have a panel of witnesses?
We do. We have Michelle Fox, Julie Simpson.
We have a different plan?
We do have a different plan.
All right, let's take it.
I am so sorry. I think we will go with Josh Baylock and Debbie Farr first. Thank you. We missed you on the original sheet.
Welcome back, Ms. Farr.
Thank you, Representative Greenlee.
It's been a while.
It has.
Chair Greenlee, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Josh Ballack, representing the Coalition for a Healthy Oregon today. COHO is a member, is 8 of the 16 organizations who work with 8 of the 16 CCOs in our state. We bring you 2696 as a bill to try to address an issue that we kind of see happening throughout all of state government. What happened was the CCOs actually were able to break down an awful lot of the silos in between mental health, dental, and physical health. But like many things, the government actually has kind of been a little slower in actually being able to integrate and break down their own silos. And so this bill and another bill that we're going to be discussing later is an attempt to try to address that. 2696 specifically is addressing some of the duplicative audits that we have actually been experiencing inside of the CCOs. One of the issues is that you have multiple agencies that are actually overseeing the CCOs. A lot of times there are multiple old statutes that are in place that are actually saying, well, you have to audit for this and you have to audit for that. There are different entities, CMS, Acumentra, who's a subcontractor for OHA, and they don't really communicate. So often what we see is that our members sometimes get audited up to 5 times in a year and often answering the exact same questions over and over and over. So one of our goals with this bill is to try to reduce that so that you actually only fill out the audit once. And that way, if there's another audit that's coming, we're not opposed to audits at any level. But if the information's already been provided, you go and you find that information first and then come to the CCO to be able to get a few more questions answered and those types of things. We believe not only would it help the CCO to be able to stay on mission, which is actually improving the quality of care for our members and for those on the Oregon Health Plan, but also could help the state because they can actually focus on doing the job they need to do. I will let you know that there are some amendments that we are working on that will try to address some of the issues that other stakeholders have come up with, and as soon as those amendments are available, we will present those to the committee and get those in front of you as soon as possible.
Are there questions? Mr. Bailey, why do we need a law? Can't we just get away today to work with you to organize this?
Representative Greenlick, or Chair Greenlick, excuse me. I think the main reason that we want to try to get a law put into place is to actually give very clear direction to the Oregon Health Authority that this is something that is incredibly important to be done and to actually make sure that it is a prioritized issue. I think that there are some places, and that's really what this is trying to do, is actually really create more of a partnership between the CCOs and the OHA and really have a more formal discussion about how to actually make this happen. I think it's easy for it's the speed that we are working at, it's really easy for these types of details to not be as focused on, and we believe this bill would actually advance and make this a priority for the agency.
Thank you.
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, my name is Debbie Farr. I am the Public and Government Affairs Director for Trillium in Lane County, and we support this bill. We have spent over the last 3 years hundreds of hours in staff time on duplicative audits, many of them asking questions that are asked, you know, with information that could be available if there was a centralized location for that information to be kept. So we just see it as being a way for us to focus on transformation, and that's what we want to do.
Are those OHA audits?
They're multiple audits. I mean, no, they're not specifically OHA, but they're, I mean, multiple organizations that come in to do these audits.
But if we're asking OHA to deal with their audits or to try and organize audits from whatever source?
Yeah, Chair Greenlick, I think one of this is actually an opportunity for, and this will be an actual part of the amendment, is to actually address some of the issues of what exactly are all of the entities out there that are doing these audits. So one of the issues that you've got is, well, CMS is at, or the Center for Medicaid services is asking for this. Great, CCOs have already filled out that audit. If it's a duplicative ask that's actually happening inside the OHA, let's get all of these audits into one place, because an awful lot of the time you actually have to submit to get it to CMS, you actually have to go through the Oregon Health Authority to do that. So we wouldn't be limiting the auditing capacity. It would just make it a more efficient way to actually do the auditing so that you weren't forcing the CCOs to continually fill out the exact same paperwork over and over and over. And there's also a downstream effect to this also, because often what ends up happening is that we have to go back and then actually ask some of our subcontractors like DCOs and other entities for more information every time the audit comes in, because hey, we have to do all these things. Here's this duplicative audit coming along.
Sort of like the behavioral health committees are asking OHA to streamline their process.
I don't have an exact specific detail that would actually say this is where it is, but I've heard anecdotally from a myriad of different people that they believe that's actually causing some of those issues with some of the downstream providers, like the mental health provider programs. And that's part of the reason why we've been coming back to them, is because of the multiple audits on this side.
Well, they're not talking about audits, as I remember. They're talking about
credentialing.
About credentialing.
But if I remember correctly, there was one.
There needed to be a statute to get the CCOs to prioritize that. Well, actually, we did. Didn't necessarily help.
Absolutely, and Chair Greenlick, we did take your advice, and we are actually setting up a meeting, and we will get this taken care of.
Thank you very much. Any other questions to this panel? Thank you. Could you call the next panel, please?
Michelle Fox and Julie Simpson. No, this is 2696.
You signed up on the wrong
bill. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else on this bill?
I had a quick question.
Yes, certainly.
Chair Greenlick.
You want?
Well, maybe
My question is 2696 is the standard that they're asking for going to be the same type of standard that will be applied to 2231, which is the one that you just referred to that we heard on the 13th. Is there going to be a collaborative effort to kind of have the same standard on both of those?
Are you asking me that question?
Well, I'm...
I thought I was asking Josh that, pretty much that same question.
Yeah, I think so.
Chair Greenlake, Representative Hayden, I firmly believe that we can start to line these issues up. I think right now we're still trying to figure out some of the concerns around the mental health provider programs and where we can actually be helpful, because you actually have a multitude of different bills and programs that are actually dealing with many different things. So one of the concerns that was raised was around some of the provider credentialing, which actually got addressed in a Senate bill, I believe, in 2014. That is actually being delayed, which actually forced, which is what gummed up some of the issues that was going on inside of the mental health program. So these are many different things are connected, and we are trying to bring these together. I think one of the things we do need to be able to do is create some sort of central housing bank so that we can actually start to say, okay, what, and one of the amendments that we are going to put forward is actually say, okay, OHA, CMS, what exactly do we need to be audited? What are these types of things we need to do, which will actually give us a better roadmap so that we can say, provider X or, you know, whatever, this is what we're going to be having happen this year, and these are the different thing entities that will probably be coming up, and you'll only have to fill it out once. So these are all interconnected, but they're also a myriad of different programs at the exact same time.
Josh, why don't you stay here for the next bill? I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2696. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2697. Madam Administrator, what do we got here?
House Bill 2697 requires the Health Authority to convene an advisory committee that consists of the CCO representatives. Specifies that the advisory committee would meet at least once every calendar quarter and advise OHA in the adoption of consistent and uniform policies and procedures for reimbursement of mental and physical health services.
Okay, and we have the same lead-off panel. Go for it.
Chair Greenlake, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Josh Ballack, representing the Coalition for a Healthy Oregon. Thank you again. Again, this bill is very similar to the previous one, where the speed of the CCOs transforming and breaking down silos hasn't really happened at the OHA, and I think this is actually one of those places where this is probably the most obvious. One of the issues that we've tended to see is that AMH, or the Addictions and Mental Health Division, and what is known as MAP now, in the inside of the OHA, aren't communicating very well, where there's often different, we're getting different opinions from one division versus the other division. And what we would really like to be able to do is actually help in shining a spotlight about how they're tearing down these their individual silos and actually starting to communicate and integrate better. I do want to let you guys know that the there was a Scribner's error, and this it does talk about payment uniformity. That's not what this bill is about. It's more about policies and procedures, and there will be a dash two amendment that will actually address that particular issue. I think at the end of the day, the one thing that we would like to be able to do is to say, Oregon Health Authority, let us help you in the process to be able to break these down, and also give the transparency so that we can actually see how this is happening, and that will allow us to be able to make future plans as we go through. We believe this would actually give us that confidence that this is actually happening. I have spoken to the Oregon Health Authority, and they are, I believe, already starting down this process. Our hope is that this would actually also allow the CCOs to have a strong voice in that, and also the confidence that it's actually happening.
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, again, Debbie Farr, the Director of Public and Government Affairs for Trillium in Lane County. We've worked really hard to remove the silos around behavioral and physical health, and it would be helpful to us if the state could do the same. We've received some conflicting and confusing communications, and to have some clarity and coordinated effort would really help us moving forward.
Is there an OHA representative around here? Anybody willing
Courtney.
To
admit? Yeah. Yes, she's in the back. She's coming.
She's coming up.
Courtney.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Courtney. Didn't expect this. Always good to have surprises in life. Speaking of silos, these three bills seem like silos to me. These two and the certification bill. Can you guys get together and get a single bill that deals with all three issues, use one of these three, and see if we can figure out something that will move, or get administrative decisions that make clear we don't need the rules? It would be very useful, because this seems crazy to deal with this in three legislative silos.
What's the third bill?
It's the bill on...
The 2231?
2231.
Yeah. Yeah, we would be very happy if you could do something to make this a little more coherent.
For the record, Courtney Westling, Legislative Director for the Health Authority, Representative Greenlick, members of the committee. We think we may not need legislation to do these things, so we'll definitely have a conversation.
That would be true. Also, please, when you get a director who's confirmed by the Senate, would you see if you can get a briefing for us on what's going on in the OHA generally? Maybe the first week in March would be very helpful.
Representative Greenlick, I'll work with Sandy to make that happen.
Thank you very much. Any other questions of this panel? Thank you for bringing this stuff to our attention.
Thank you.
I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2697 and go back to the public hearing on House Bill 2642. And Madam Administrator, would you call some panels for us?
Mary Nielsen, Pamela Dreyer, Deborah Mastin. Ooh. Dr. Dahl never knows.
Please introduce yourself as you begin.
Good afternoon. I'm Mary Nielsen. I own and operate a laser training.
You don't have to move that close to the mic.
I don't have to
pick
that
it up.
Far.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Okay.
Maybe 6 inches. It'll pick it up.
How's that?
You're good.
Okay. So starting over. Good afternoon. I'm Mary Nielsen. I own and operate a laser training center in Tigard, Oregon. I'm a licensed esthetician. I'm also a licensed aesthetic instructor. I also own a skin and laser clinic in Longview, Washington, where I work as a master esthetician, and I'm also an LPN. I've been in medical aesthetics for over 15 years, and I've worked as a contracted educator and a laser trainer for a number of different laser companies. I've provided laser training to staff who've purchased new equipment throughout the Pacific Northwest and Western Canada. I started this laser training center in Tigard 2.5 years ago because I could really see the need for better training. Laser companies will provide the equipment, but they're under no obligation to provide any number of hours of training. And oftentimes the training consists of teaching staff how to use the buttons and knobs without really educating them on laser physics and laser theory and any laser safety. So I'd like to give you a little bit of background on how House Bill 2642 came into existence. Oregon is a wonderful place to live. We have a wide variety of beautiful landscapes. We have people are active. They're windsurfing in the gorge. They're clam digging at the beach, backpacking in the mountains, fly fishing, snowboarding. Active lifestyles has perpetuated a youth culture, and people are living longer. They want to be more active, and they want the image they see in the mirror to reflect how they feel on the inside. And so, like the rest of the country, Oregonians are turning to non-surgical cosmetic options to look younger. Technology has afforded them the capability to take years off their appearance through treatments that are safe and effective if they're done with the proper training. So Oregon cosmetology regulations have not kept pace with technology. The Board of Cosmetology issued information in 2006 in documents that they titled Facial Forward that seemed to indicate to estheticians that they were allowed to do laser treatments. And these Facial Forward documents even included references to doing Botox and fillers. Those Facial Forward documents were in existence until last month when the Board of Cosmetology rescinded those documents. But because of heavy media attention about 17 months ago that focused on one or two laser facilities that were operating with poorly trained staff, resulted in some burns and other injuries, the Board of Cosmetology intended to impose an emergency ban on estheticians performing laser services for 180 days. A public hearing was held in October of 2013. It was attended by estheticians, physicians, consumers, facility owners, because people were concerned, estheticians especially, you're taking away their living for 180 days. Facility owners concerned about their loss of income, inability to make payments on lasers that are extremely expensive. So consumers losing a service that they had grown accustomed to receiving. The board really wisely decided against that ban, and they appointed and organized a rules advisory committee to provide guidance to the board about estheticians providing these advanced treatments with lasers and other energy devices. The rules advisory committee was comprised of estheticians, facility owners, aesthetic instructors, two physicians. I was lucky to be able to be on that advisory committee, and after meeting for multiple times, it became apparent that we couldn't move forward without any kind of legislative change, and we need that change in the statutes. So the committee disbanded, and we formed an ad hoc committee that continued to meet and refine our position. We approached Val Hoyle. We also approached Margaret Doherty and John Huffman, and they agreed to submit our proposal for legislation. Our group has met with Mark Mayer for the initial draft. It essentially creates a new board that would govern estheticians with advanced skills, allowing them to operate lasers and other energy devices. We do understand that the dangers that are involved with lasers, and we agree that there are laser services that are beyond the scope of practice for an esthetician. Those belong in the medical realm. Our proposal divides the laser services between ablative and non-ablative services. Non-ablative treatments are intended for the beautification of the skin, anti-aging, getting rid of sun damage, improving fine lines and texture. The intent of the committee working on this bill is to consider evolving technology and so making our language broader. And by drawing the line between ablative and non-ablative, we've done that.
I think you need to wrap up pretty soon.
Okay.
We have a long list, and I'll ask other people to try and be fairly brief.
All right. The initial draft needs some clarification, and we have continued to meet to come up with some amendments. I believe you'll get those amendments this afternoon or shortly afterwards. Other states have recognized the need for this legislation and requiring additional education and safety requirements. Washington, Utah, Virginia are just some of those states that have very similar new certifications required. I think that this legislation would be historic for Oregon, and it would elevate the level of esthetician scope of practice in the state. It would also keep women employed because most of these businesses are small businesses that are owned by women. Thank you.
Listen, during this hearing, if you have a question of a witness, please just bring it up. Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Pamela Dreyer. I'm a licensed esthetician in Washington State as a master esthetician as well as an instructor. I'm also a licensed esthetician and instructor in the state of Oregon. I've worked as an educator in basic education for estheticians as well as advanced modalities. I've worked in the medical environment under the directive of physicians and practiced laser modalities for approximately 10 years. I would like to speak in favor of this bill today, strongly in favor of this bill today, as an educator, as a consumer, and as an esthetician, because I've been in all of those three positions. When estheticians start their basic education, and they complete that basic education in Oregon of approximately 400 hours, some of the things they cover are skin analysis, structure, histology, and physiology. When they graduate, that gives them a great foundation to enter into a next level of education and or training, which I believe needs to be covered by not only didactic theory, but it also needs to be practical application. Many estheticians in the state of Oregon have sought out additional education, but it's been challenging to find for them. With this new bill, it will help define, help us to put into place better educational facilities and better guidelines as to what is needed. I firmly believe that with proper education, hands-on training, and experience, estheticians can be forerunners and leaders in the aesthetic medical environment. We're clearly aware that we're not medically trained, nor are we trying to fit in or fill the place of the medical physicians. We clearly understand that our place is to enhance and to beautify through the new modalities that we now have available as our world changes and grows. So that really just wraps up what I have to say. I'm just strongly in favor of getting some good education and directives for our industry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Representative Greenlick and members of the board. My name is Deborah Mastin. I'm also a licensed esthetician and have worked in the laser field with light-based devices for about 18 years. I am a master esthetician in the state of Washington, a national trainer for a light-based device company. I am certified in the state as an educator, and I'm also was a subject matter expert for the state of Oregon, and I'm also past chairman of the Oregon State Board of Cosmetology. My,
what do you mean you're a licensed esthetician? Is there a license currently for esthetician?
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Washington. A license?
There is a license, yes.
In Washington?
In Oregon?
Yes.
Oh. And what are we doing here?
In both states.
There is already a licensing act.
For an esthetician, yes.
Which is under the cosmetology
board, yes.
And what would we do that would be different here besides create a board? The
licensing
change?
Establishing a laser esthetician certification separate from an aesthetics license. We would expand that.
Under the current license, there's no way to get certified for laser?
Well, we tried that, and that was my hope as a board member. We tried to go the certification route and actually have it be done by that, but apparently that is not possible with our current rule, and that's why we're having to go this direction.
Ms. Mercer will be
in statute,
stay
yes.
tuned.
Yes. We were hoping that would be the rep, but we can't. So the main thing that I would like to point out today is that during my term of 6 years on the board, I don't remember ever having an incidence of a claim or a complaint come before us of a service or safety concern of an esthetician practicing with a light-based device. And I think that the past media coverage over the issue with Forever Young, where they had some complaints, was strictly a outside incident. I don't think this is a widespread problem within the state, but I do think that we need to quantify the education and give the public the confidence that we are capable, and I think that this bill will do that for the state of Oregon and those consumers that seek out these services. So I'm speaking in favor today and hope that it will be able to go through and give those consumers the confidence that they need.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Would you call the next panel and announce the following one?
Okay. The next three, Jerry Darm, Rebecca Covey, Jeffrey Scott, and on deck will be Erica Wilson, Judith Culp, and Ryan Covey.
I promise I'm not going to read all this.
Guarantee you're not.
That we have done. Can I pass these out to...
You just hand it to the assistant.
Oh, man.
somebody go for it.
I will leave this.
My name is Rebecca Kevy. Thank you so much for hearing me today. This is the first time I've been before a committee here. So thank you, Mitch, for Greenlick, Representative Greenlick, for having us. I own a spa and a laser center in Oregon for the last 10 years. I am also a licensed esthetician. I am also a master esthetician in Washington, which we'll kind of talk about, and a laser safety officer. And over the course of my career, I've worked with various companies that test, train, and educate in our field. My postgraduate education includes many didactic courses on physics and clinical safety of laser and light-based treatments. I had the privilege to be able to serve on, as a chair on the Rules Advisory Committee that you guys have heard about, which I'll call or refer to as RAC, and on how to best solve some of these issues that we've been facing in this technology as it's been growing in our field of practice. 6 months into this committee's work, the Health Licensing Office, which I'll refer to as HLO, advised us that rule changes were not possible due to the antiquated Oregon statute and that we needed to make changes through creating a new legislation. So as you heard previously, we would have much rather just went through the rules as well. I did present with you, everyone on the board, I presented different exhibits just to kind of back up, you know, our work that we did. So Exhibit A was a document that all of us on the Rules Advisory Committee had worked very hard for, and you'll see all of this paperwork here. This is part of our 6 months of work to come up with this document. And we had a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, but we were very proud of it, called Advanced Aesthetic and Laser Certification. Dr. Jerry Darm, I was privileged to be on the committee with him, as well as Dr. Jeffrey Scott, and Dr. Darm did also, you know, agree to this was a great starting point for us. So it was all agreed that as this ad hoc committee, that we would go ahead and take this to legislation because we felt that these concerns needed to be addressed, and if they couldn't be addressed in the rules, we needed to get it into legislation. So I passed out Exhibit C to everybody, and that is the amendments that we worked on until yesterday afternoon late. There are some revisions that are not included on there, but you will get, I believe, later today. And we worked on this with HLO, with BOC, and with HEC, H-E-C-C, standing for Higher Education Coordinating Commission, as well as the Board of Radiation Protection Services, and we came up with these amendments to more closely match our advanced aesthetic and laser certification that we had originally put together. So I just want to note to everybody that for the last decade, laser use has been within our scope of practice as estheticians. And you can see Exhibit D where that just backs it up by some of the publications that were put out by HLOA prior to it becoming HLO in 2008. And since then, BOC also enacted rules for national ANSI standards for laser use for estheticians that facilities must comply to. Many of us are very largely vested as stakeholders in this. Not only have we put a lot of money into our postgraduate education, but we've purchased facilities and extremely expensive equipment we use within this very specialized field of practice. We've built our businesses around this increased cosmetic or demand for cosmetic laser treatments, and I just referred to as LLRP within the document.
LLRP.
LLRP, yes. And so we couldn't really.
What's LLRP?
LLRP is laser light, radio frequency, plasma, and other devices that we use in our field. We know that as the years have gone by, these devices are becoming safer and easier to use. And what non-ablative is it's devices that effectively heat up the skin, produce collagen, therefore reduce the signs of aging, as well as hair removal devices that target the melanin in the hair follicle and then leave the skin unharmed and remove the hair. New safety features are engineered into these devices every single year, making them even safer, which But we do realize that even that being said, that with an untrained operator, whether it be a doctor, a nurse, a PA, or an esthetician, there is definitely risks involved, which is why we wanted to create this board with experienced and educated people to standardize this education and ensure proper training, supervision, and ensure the competency of all estheticians using this technology. As new technology surfaces, some procedures that were ablative, which means the skin's being vaporized or removed or injured, are now available in non-ablative technology. So HB2642 was written to encompass that new technology in this very rapidly changing field. I want to bring out, too, that many new FDA-approved devices, and you'll see this in Exhibit E, are using exactly the same laser technology that we use in our cosmetic laser treatments. One of them is the TRIA age-defying laser that just came out this year. It uses fractional non-ablative skin resurfacing in a 1440 wavelength, which may not mean a lot to you, but I have a Clear and Brilliant made by Fraxel. I've spent over $100,000 on that with consumables in my practice. That is the exact same device on a low setting would be similar.
Can you wrap up your testimony, please?
Yes. So we see this in various forms. I feel that HB2642 effectively regulates estheticians. Unlike Washington's law, which allows estheticians to perform both ablative as well as non-ablative laser therapy, it only permits the use of non-ablative lasers, which is one more reason why the collaborative agreements are appropriate in Oregon. And you'll see that in Exhibit F being created in the dental field. So in conclusion, it's right for Oregon. It doesn't over-regulate. It institutes training for a field that's comprised mostly of women, and it provides a living wage. It also provides the services consumer want, and it protects the safety of the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair Representative Greenleek and the rest of the members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Dr. Jeffrey Scott. My background is I'm board certified in family medicine and have been in that practice for the last 14 years. I've been in aesthetics for approximately the last 4 years, so I'm familiar with these technologies. I myself utilize an ablative laser, which is a little bit different than what we're talking about today. That's the actual removal of skin. Again, for these purposes, today we're talking about estheticians utilizing non-ablative techniques, which do not damage the skin. They leave the skin intact. But I'm here to support House Bill 2642 so that these ladies can continue to perform their jobs. I'm confident in the technology that's safe for the public with the proper training. Just as every individual in their profession needs training, so do these ladies. I say ladies. There may be men utilizing these technologies as well. But they need the training to utilize the equipment properly and provide safety to the public. But again, at their level, I believe that can be done. So,
you feel comfortable with this being done without physician supervision?
I think that depends, and that's yet to be determined, but I think that the establishment of this board can help settle that issue. I think that is still an issue that's out there that needs further discussion. I think it is obvious to say that these technologies can cause harm, but anything in life that's misused can cause harm.
The statute differentiates ablative and non-ablative, one of which would require physician supervision, one of which wouldn't. I was asking if you're comfortable with that. That's in the statute.
I am currently comfortable with that, yes.
Thank you. Dr. Darm?
Excuse me, I'm Dr. Darm. I've been in this industry for at least 15 years performing these procedures. My experience has been a little different than some of the others. We have seen injuries and damage and harm that has been done to the public in our practice periodically. What we've also seen as most egregious in this situation has been a couple of corporate entities, one of which had over 1,000 complaints with the Department of Justice. We tried unsuccessfully to have it addressed for many, many years. there were estheticians working at this particular entity who knew that things were being done improperly and incorrectly. And as we speak, these 1,000 citizens of Oregon have not been recompensed when the entity closed precipitously. Hmm. One of the...
Got the Oregonian involved. They seem to be effective at...
not at getting their money back. Nobody's been effective, including the state. In addition, there was another entity in the mall in Washington Square who periodically bankrupted themselves. They took in prepaid monies for these procedures, which many of us do, which we all do. And that entity bankrupted itself 2 or 3 or 4 times, basically. So this is an industry that takes in money prior to delivering treatments, like the insurance industry, like... a number of industries that are out there. So at some point, and we've disagreed, we've had a number of discussions about this, but if you're going to take somebody's money, then maybe you should have a bond so that if you close or if you go out of business. And typically the majority of individuals in this room are really practicing legitimately, and I favor them and I support them, and I've been talking to them now for many months, and I think they're doing a good job. For every one of them sitting here, there are 50 out there who purchase a device, a prescriptive device, which supposedly is supposed to be sold to a physician, which some of them obviously disagree with. That and then go on Groupon and advertise, and so they'll collect $20,000, $30,000 at a time and then have to deliver these treatments over a 6-month period. Many of these entities have gone down and gone out of business and unable to deliver those services. So some sort of bonding, some sort of guarantee, some sort of, if you're taking in prepaid services, I think needs to be addressed. I favor what we're doing here, regulating this industry that has been virtually unregulated for the last 10 years. And I support the vast majority of what's in this document that they're presenting to you. One of the areas that needs to be talked about and questioned is the physician oversight and how much physician oversight there should be. We surveyed 50 medispas in a 5-mile radius of our clinic, and we found that they were all advertising to treat medical problems, acne, rosacea, varicose veins was being treated by one of them. And there was no physician anywhere in sight. We sent that information to the OHLA. The OHLA says we can't decide if what constitutes a medical treatment. They referred those cases to the Oregon Medical Board. The Oregon Medical Board says we don't regulate non-physicians. So it fell into this.
We're dealing with that problem too.
Vacuum. This entity, if it's created, hopefully it will be, needs to decide what constitutes a medical treatment. And if it is a medical treatment, then it really should be seen by a physician, diagnosed, and the treatment prescribed by a physician. So those are two areas, the bonding and the physician oversight, where I'm perhaps more aggressive than the document that you're about to receive. But otherwise, I'm fully in favor of regulating this incredibly unregulated industry that's been sort of just morphed overnight in our state.
Any more questions? Thank you very much.
Sure, go ahead.
May I make a comment?
a very brief
comment. Oh, okay. I just want to say that this bill does go into what we can and cannot do, and we're certainly not trying to diagnose anything within these A through G. And that also we have, as in the rules in this board, we can address the insurance issues. I personally have talked to many insurance agencies about bonding and the issues that we have in this industry, but it does also create rules regarding, you know, the actual insurance part, the liability. So I just want to let you know that is in here, and we do plan on addressing it in the rules.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thanks for coming down. Next panel.
Ryan Covey, Erica Wilson, and Judith Culp.
Please remember to introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Ryan Covey, and I am actually an electrician. My wife is an esthetician, and I've been following this process for the last year and a half. During that time, I've talked to all the estheticians in Washington that got their legislation going, and over there they are allowed to do ablative and non-ablative laser treatments. I've also had the chance to talk to many estheticians in California who just recently won back the right to use LED lights. Now, I'm hoping that you legislators will come at this with a common sense goal in California.
We try hard to avoid common sense.
In California, the fact that the estheticians over there cannot shine an LED light in their client's face, and these are the type of treatments that they're left with trying to get paid for, I can't hardly believe it. And as an electrician, most of our new lights coming out right now are LEDs. So the fact that they had to fight for their right to shine an LED light in their, the client's faces, which I'm not sure why anybody would want to do that. I'm not an esthetician, but I'm just saying that we really, to over-regulate the industry would be a huge mistake for Oregon. Right here I have, this is a Tria. It's a laser hair removal device that's available for sale in retail stores and online through Sephora. It comes in different colors. This one's blue. But you can actually purchase these devices, the same technology used at these spas. The power level is a little bit different. It's battery powered, so slower frequency, but these put out as much energy into the skin as the devices used in the spas right now. So consumers can actually buy these. Costco has one called the Me by Elos. You can go down to Costco, get one, do these procedures at home. These are obviously, the technology is coming by so quickly that they now have one called the PicoSure, which is not available for retail sales just yet, but it actually does laser tattoo removal non-ablatively. So the heat heats up the tattoo ink. After 2 to 6 treatments, your body's lymphatic system gets rid of the ink. And this is going to be a big business. So obviously there's a lot of special interests that are trying to ban estheticians from doing this kind of stuff. But this is all non-ablative stuff that heats the skin. It doesn't harm the skin. Like Rebecca was saying, the Tria that they have out right now that heats up the skin also just produces collagen, so it's not actually hurting the skin. Anyways, I just want to bring up that this technology is currently available for home use. You can buy it at the store. I guess I'm just asking you guys to please take a common sense approach and support Bill H2642.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Chair Greenlick and committee members, my name is Erica Wilson. I'm a co-owner of an aesthetic practice with Dr. John Willer in the Columbia Gorge region. I've been involved in the aesthetic field for over 11 years, and I'm actually very excited to be sitting here in front of you all asking for your support of House Bill 2642. I've watched our state and I've watched other states around the country wrestle with these issues of safety and setting a standard in which laser procedures can be provided in a safe manner. And I'm happy to see that Oregon is moving forward to set those standards, because as you've already heard from previous individuals, there have been concerns over the safe use of aesthetic lasers. In the 11 years that I've been involved in aesthetic medicine, I have seen harm done to patients not only by estheticians, but by medical assistants, by physician assistants, by nurses, by nurse practitioners, and even by physicians. I think this all boils down to training and education of safe laser use. And I'm pleased that the House Bill 2642 addresses this very issue for estheticians in the state of Oregon. This has been long overdue. The statute that's currently in place is very vague, and it leaves wide open problems for both the estheticians in the state and for consumers. I'm also very happy to see that the House bill does clearly define that the estheticians aren't going to be involved with the diagnosis of medical conditions as they relate to the skin. So I think any concerns that physicians may have that estheticians will be taking over the practice of medicine should not have those fears or concerns, because it's clearly defined in this House bill. I think it also defines very well an official relationship that estheticians can have with healthcare providers, again, as kind of a resource in the event that there is a complication related to laser use. And I think they've done a very good job of defining that, so that there are relationships that these estheticians will have with physicians, with other licensed healthcare practitioners within the state of Oregon. Again, I'm very happy to be here. Obviously, I'm asking for your support of this House bill. I think it's a very positive move for the state of Oregon, for estheticians, and for the consumers in Oregon who use non-ablative aesthetic services. Thank you.
Yes.
Chair Greenlee, thank you. Are we adequately defining ablative and non-ablative procedures in this legislation?
It's strictly defined as being non-ablative. I think that's, so Rebecca's saying that yes, it is clearly defined. It's certainly clearly defined in aesthetics. Laser companies clearly define things as being ablative, where there is a destruction or removal of layers of skin, as opposed to non-ablative, where the skin is left entirely intact.
Is there one source of definition of ablative and non-ablative that we can refer to?
So Mary is saying that the FDA has a clear definition of non-ablative versus ablative, which would make sense in terms of...
Are there any gray areas?
Maybe we should have her come back up to the stand.
Yeah.
Is there someone that can... Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. I think we'll check that out before we go further, but we need to move on. We have 10 more people who'd like to testify.
I believe that the FDA regulates or categorizes equipment, the laser wavelengths, as ablative or non-ablative.
Who are you, please?
I'm sorry, I'm Mary Nielsen.
Thank you.
So, laser equipment, we're requesting this bill that estheticians would work with equipment that is FDA approved, and the FDA will list equipment as either ablative or non-ablative. Its approval will be for a non-ablative treatment or an ablative treatment.
Let's have the next panel, please. Right,
we need. My name is Judith Culp. That's all right. Representative Greenlick and committee. Excuse me, Chairman Greenlick.
I have been a licensed esthetician in Oregon since 1980. So Oregon was one of the first states that separated aesthetics out and recognized it as a separate field of practice under the Board of Cosmetology. I'm also nationally certified and I'm a licensed master esthetician in Washington. In addition to that, I'm a writer for the textbooks that is used in this industry. And I was the contributing editor for the Master Aesthetics textbook by Milady Publishing, both the first and second edition, where these topics are covered in depth in that textbook. I support this House bill. I believe that we do need to define clearly what needs the pathways for certification and the safety requirements that need to be written and in place in those facilities and followed. These are not necessary. This bill is not concerned about the other aesthetic services that we do. They have nothing to do with these devices, and they belong under the health licensing where we currently exist. That's it.
Sure. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask the rest of you to hold your testimony to 2 minutes, please, and I'll prompt you when 2 minutes are up. Would you call the next panel?
I think we have three Michelles. Michelle Strobel, Michelle Blackwell, and Michelle Fox.
So this is the Michelle panel.
It is the Michelle panel.
Michelle panel.
Okay. Get it back. You get 2 minutes. Let's have Michelle start.
Chair Greenlick and committee, my name is Michelle Fox, and I'm a certified esthetician and laser tech in Arizona and Oregon. I lived and worked in Arizona when the ARRA, Arizona Radiation Board, took control of laser procedures and certifications in 2010. I personally have over 150 hours of laser didactic training, including advanced hands-on training in all laser modalities. I have over 100 hours of treatment logs in all laser applications, including but not limited to IPL laser hair reduction, RF devices, and non-ablative resurfacing, making me a certifiable laser trainer and supervisor by all requirements of the Arizona Radiation Board. I'm absolutely in support of the bill and urge you to follow suit with Arizona law and the Arizona Radiation Board. If this bill is passed, it will eliminate the possibility of untrained persons treating with laser applications, thus eliminating the consumer risk that has been spoken of. I'm sure that if it was required that all aestheticians treating with laser devices be trained properly as I have been, a person would be more capable hands than being treated by an untrained doctor or nurse. The aesthetics industry the aesthetics industry and consumer needs are ever changing and evolving, and we must evolve with it. Those that are willing to take the extra steps to continue in our career should absolutely not be denied the opportunity.
Are you supporting this bill or opposing it?
Yes, absolutely supporting it.
Thank you. Okay.
Is that Michelle in the middle?
Yeah. I think the first Michelle did so well. Let's have another one.
Okay. My name is Michelle. Welcome. I'm so nervous. I can't believe it.
take a deep breath.
I'm going to take a deep breath.
See how nice we are to you.
And just introduce yourself as Michelle on the left.
Yes. I am Michelle Strobel, and I am new to Oregon. I am from Washington, and my husband moved me down here. I've been in the industry for 30 years, and I'm sad. I'm sad because it's like this is my livelihood. And I just find myself going, okay, what's everybody going to do? I started out at 22 years old as a makeup artist. I then was a promotional assistant. I then moved up to got my aesthetics license. And I move here and I hear all of this stuff and I'm like, okay, what's going to happen with all of this? I work with a doctor under his supervision, but he doesn't know anything about lasers. I know way more than he knows about lasers. So one of my fears is this is going to go under the Board of Medicine, and that's going to limit me. That's going to limit what I can do. So I am so in favor of this bill because this bill helps all of us that are estheticians to perform what we have learned and trained and put all of our resources into. I mean, I have medical equipment. I'm like, oh my word, what is going to happen to me? I mean, I feel like I'm going to get penalized for playing by the rules and doing everything right. And because somebody up in Portland screwed up, probably some money-greedy business owner who didn't know anything about it, got a hold of a laser, and now I'm grouped into the sewage of that. And I think it's unfair. And so I'm here because I love what I do. I'm not happy to be here. I'm mad to be here. I'm missing a day of work. This is all about dollars to me. So I hope you pass this bill. When that bill comes across your desk, see this face. Bill 2642. Look at this. Because this it's not funny to me. It's everything I've worked very hard for. So I just hope you guys take it seriously and help us as women and small business owners. I don't even own a business here. I did up in Washington, but I feel like I'm starting all over again, and I'm thinking, I'm fearful that this is going to really set me back. Because you know what could happen is if you put it under that board of medicine, a doctor could say, great, I'm going to pay you $14 an hour. Okay? What's going to happen with that? We're all going to take a lot of steps backward, and I've worked too hard to allow that to happen. So thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You did great. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Representative Greenlick, members of the committee, my name is Michelle Blackwell. I'm an attorney and partner at Watkinson, Laird, Rubenstein, and Eugene. I've been retained to represent the interests of a statewide partnership of estheticians, consumers, and other interested stakeholders. I was originally retained when the Board of Cosmetology was poised to implement an emergency ban on estheticians' use of lasers. I would concur, first of all, with Michelle Strobel to my left, the Michelle to my left story. It represents perfectly what I hope to illustrate for you, which is that there are over 12,000 primarily women-owned small business owners in Oregon in this multi-million dollar industry who are poised to lose everything if we can't find some path forward. And we have worked diligently over the past 17 months with HLO and Holly Mercer and her staff to find some way to move the advanced aesthetics use of lasers and light devices forward. And I heard you, Representative Greenlick, when you asked, what are we doing here? Isn't this a Board of Cosmetology issue, implying can we amend their legislation? And believe me, Representative, we have tried all available paths. The problem seems to be that this specialty of advanced aesthetics focuses so much on ever-changing technology that regulation and legislation can't keep up with it. We tried working with Board of Cosmetology. Unfortunately, there's a history there of perhaps a little bit too much influence of Board of Medicine over Board of Cosmetology, and we saw what we perceived as a scope of practice grab behind the emergency ban. Fair or not, we recognize there were other issues. I do want to point out that the context of the emergency ban was proposed mainly in response to the Forever Young Clinic in Portland that primarily had to do with a lot of not honoring contracts for services, and they were fined and they were dealt with. Yes, there were some minor injuries, but the only major injury having to do with laser use in Oregon for non-ablative laser use was under the supervision of a doctor who was disciplined and had license implications through Board of Medicine. So what I want to say is, number one, there was some sensational media coverage that sort of instituted the ban, and Holly Mercer, much to her credit, at the end of the day, did say, you know, we wish we had slowed down and dealt with this differently, but in the end, Board of Cosmetology recognized it was not within their authorizing legislation. We approached Board of Medical Imaging because they are astute with changing technology and making sure it's safe, but they were not interested in hosting this legislation. And so here we are with an advanced aesthetics certification board proposal, and it's not perfect, but it gets the job done. Second of all, I'd also like to point out that this legislation, it doesn't oppose physician oversight, but what it does is it makes it a broader oversight because dentists, alternative health care providers, other medical professionals with prescriptive authority are appropriate people to be overseeing this through the use of collaborative agreements. I would also say that a lot of this can be reserved for rulemaking. For example, the bonding issue that you heard, I personally, I don't mean to overstate it, but it seems a little ridiculous as there is no other health care statute or regulation in Oregon or any other state that requires bonding of health care professionals. The insurance is what takes care of that issue. And there are civil remedies for breach of contract and also penalties that can be imposed through the administrative process. Mostly I want to point out that these class of lasers, these non-ablative lasers and IPL devices, these are not surgical lasers. These are beauty treatments. I'm also happen to be a consumer of these treatments. You've heard from one other consumer. So here's another consumer coming forward and saying, I have found these in my experience to be safe and effective over many years. And I would like to be able, as a consumer, to continue to go to my, somebody who's become a friend, almost like a hairdresser, to get the these treatments done at an affordable price rather than having to go to some overpriced medical spa where the estheticians are underpaid because they have to work under the exclusive direction of a physician. In conclusion, I would say we ask you, please support House Bill 2642, especially the sponsored amendments that you do not have yet. Those sponsored amendments were a result of lots of conversations with HLO and other stakeholders having to do with education, facility licensure, insurance, other appropriate oversight, and broadening the path of who is appropriate to collaborate and supervise the use of lasers. Thank you.
Those are dash one and the dash two amendments.
I have not seen the numbered amendments, so I can't speak to that, sir. I wanted to say Your Honor, but
he'll take it.
The Honorable is true. Thank you, guys. Next panel, please.
Julie Simpson, Colleen Brio, Cynthia Mendoza.
We need to get him a robe.
Yeah. He looks like
brief.
Bro. Mm-hmm. Fine, bro.
Be brief, team. Let's go.
Okay. Just like Michelle to the left, I wanted to put a face. I'm an esthetician.
Name, please.
My name is Colleen Bro. I'm an esthetician, laser certified. I've been in this business for about a year and a half. I've lived in Oregon for about 5 years. So this was kind of unexpected. I changed my career. I'm also someone who went to medical spas before I got into this business. I have seen amazing things happen for people in this business, with acne scarring, things that really affect their confidence and their lifestyle. And I, just to be a part of that is amazing, to help these people. So I support continued education, regulation, all of the things that are needed to make sure everything is safe, because that is important to me as an esthetician, because I take my job very seriously. When I went to laser, you know, school for certification, I went across country to Pennsylvania to make sure that I was getting a good education for 3 weeks, 120 hours working on actual people, because I knew this was not something to be taken lightly. So, let's see. I'm sorry. So, I also want to dispel the fact that there aren't places that are being overseen by doctors. Where I work is, though I am representing myself as Total Medical Spa, Total Medi Spa, I work with a nurse. She is my boss. And Dr. Leonard, who is a respected plastic surgeon, is above us and oversees the facility. Since the halt has happened, after 3 months of me working there,
In my opinion, I had been making about 25% of what I could possibly make, and my job was to keep me and my family afloat. And unfortunately, a pin was put in that float, and we are floundering. And I really want to stay in Oregon. I love Oregon, and I have known aestheticians that have had to move. So I will not speak about specifics of my financial situation, but it definitely has made a huge impact on my life here and whether I can continue my life here, and I want to continue my life here. So let's please put this forward and remember, I guess, what can you say, the little people, the person who, you know, is there and taking it seriously, getting education, and wants the regulation.
Great. Thank you. You've done good. Yes.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Mendoza. I'm the owner of Aesthetics Institute in Portland, Oregon. We also have Lavish Spa as well. So in both facilities, we have laser services. We've been teaching laser. I came about teaching laser because I had students coming back to me from where they were working in places that they didn't have sterilization procedures set forth. They were not allowed to have manuals. And guess what? These were overseen by physicians. So, and it usually has to do with a conglomeration, where they have more than one spa. So they reap and rape from that, take the money and open up another facility. But that's business end of it. As far as aesthetics field has gone well beyond what our rules and regulations have set forth right now. Right now, how it reads is that if you are going to provide an additional service that is not mentioned in our aesthetics curriculum as set forth now, that you have to seek something that shows evidence of training. But what is evidence of training? You sell me the machine, you say, here's your manual, this is on button, this is where you plug it in, there you go, here, let me sign this that you have a receipt of training. So I'm in favor of this bill. It definitely has some things to be worked on because it is impinging a little bit on the basic side of aesthetics that we have right now, but it's definitely something that we need, and we really need to have you go forth and approve this bill.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, I'm Julie Simpson. Thank you for having us here, Chair Greenlick and the rest of the committee. I'll try to make this brief. It looks like I'm the last one, so I'll try to keep us awake until we're done. Mm-hmm. So I've been as an office manager
you're
for
two and
a half
years. You're not the last one.
I'm not? Okay.
And that's the problem.
I saw our time was up. So 2.5 years I've worked at a facility as an office manager that performs laser procedures with estheticians, and there's also RN and two physicians that are employed. My experience prior to that is a little bit different than everybody else, so I have a little more non-emotional look at this, more of a legal. I was in the legal field for over 14 years and government for 8 years. So kind of like this, I like statutes, I like law, from digging into this, it was time. DOJ clearly, you know, looked into this with the knee-jerk reaction with the two corporations that were causing the problems, and addressed it with the Board of Cosmetology and OHL, Oregon Health Agency, if I got it right. A couple things I want to make clear that, you know, obviously safety is our foremost issue here, and this House bill covers the safety. It also covers professional liability insurance, so that facilities we carry insurance from the Lloyd of London's. You know, we have sufficient over $1 million per occurrence. I mean, we're very to the T of making sure everything is taken care of. And unfortunately, before this House bill was available, maybe not everybody was working to the same standards. All this is just getting everybody up to the same bar. And so I just would really like to see this, your support, and with the momentum of House Bill 2642 to get approved. Also, you know, addressing to healthcare professionals, collaborating, you know, and having that in there too. And we see the need, definitely the need for that. We have to all work together as a team. So that's all I have.
Thank
so we can go
much.
On to the next.
Thank you. Go to the next panel, please.
I believe her writing is Sunday Dunaway, Matt O'Neill, Macy Reinen.
Sunday's going to skip and Heidi and the last one.
Okay, so no Sunday. Sunday on Wednesday.
Three shows, Sunday and Wednesday.
We're funny today.
I know. That's it.
I'm Matt O'Neill, and I'm highly in favor of Bill 2642. So I want to share with you briefly my experiences as a consumer. I have had procedures done for about 5 or 6 years. And my first experience was not from an esthetician, it was from a plastic surgeon. And I've had a couple different procedures from a plastic surgeon. But this time I decided to get some laser hair removal. Well, the doctor wasn't even there. The assistant did the procedure. And so for me, to have laser hair removal, there's a lot of things that go into it. And I've learned a lot after having about 40 different procedures. And so one of the things that kind of scared me was the assistant was kind of questioning, okay, which setting should I put it on for your head? There's so many different settings, so many different ways that you look at someone, you say, okay, your hair is darker, we don't want to burn you, and you want to have results. And so someone that doesn't do it very often, I'm a little scared. And so I only had it done once, and I didn't really see the results, and I was a little uncomfortable. So for me, I'm much more comfortable going to someone that does hundreds of procedures a week versus someone that does two or three. And so I'm speaking, you know, kind of selfishly a little bit because I don't want to pay as much it's going to cost if this bill doesn't go through. I'm not going to be able to afford it. And so I think the economic impact is going to be huge for the state. I don't know if you guys have looked at those numbers, but they're quite large. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of the doctors are trying to get a piece of the pie now because it's huge. And so you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of businesses and estheticians that will move away. And a lot of them already have in the past year and a half. And I would bet that when the figures come back for this last year, you're going to see, you know, millions of dollars loss in the industry because of the scare. So anyway, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Who's next?
Okay. Hi. I just want to start off by saying
your name, please.
Oh, Macy Reinen.
Thank you.
Hi.
She's scared, but she wanted to be here to support.
You're fine. It's okay.
I'm so proud of her.
You're educating us. Like, we don't know a lot of this stuff, right? So it's helpful to hear it, frankly.
Okay.
Especially for Representative Nose. He's got to get rid of his tattoo.
You just take a deep breath.
We're not sure where his tattoo is that he
all
has
right,
to get rid of.
To show us.
I tried that. It didn't work.
We've been trying to get it out of him for a long time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, sorry. I was only 7 years old when I started working side by side with my mom. Sorry. Okay.
Big breaths. This is just a basketball game.
Since then, I've watched our business grow one happy client at a time. We have over 12,000 clients in our system, and now we have literally started with zero. Right. Okay. My mom is the only wage earner in our family, and she has three kids that rely on her financially for all of their needs. Laser services and aesthetic services are mostly offered by women for other women. If you deny women like my mother the opportunity to become to be in business for themselves, you will ruin the lives of small business owners and their families. Women and men rely on types of services to improve their appearance to feel good about themselves. I did my research and typed.
Slow down, take a deep breath.
And this type of service does not require 4 years of medical school. It can be done by a carefully trained and licensed technician. I've watched my mom work really, really hard to build her business, and I'm proud of her. She's my model.
It's okay. Breathe. Take a big breath and just get it out of the
way. I'm a hero. It makes me so proud to watch my mother continually expand her education and knowledge of skincare, lasers, and aesthetic services so she can provide better care for her growing clientele and keep her licenses that she has obtained up to date with all new technology. My mom has worked so hard for so many years to support my brothers and me. This has been an awesome opportunity for me to be a part of and to be here now to help support her. And to watch women coming together to create jobs, keep jobs, and obtain higher education and opportunities to be self-sufficient. Thank you for everyone in this room that has contributed time and effort to this bill. If this bill does not pass, I do not know where this is going to put me and my family, because this is how my mom has supported us, and we are one of hundreds of families who will suffer.
You're very brave to have done this, and you did.
Thank you.
A great job.
Thank you. I read your speech about how you wanted to be a congressman, and you said you wanted to work for a state full of hope and promise for the future. And I hope that you can give promise the future to my mom and thousands of women just like her supporting House Bill 2642. Thank you for your consideration and taking the time to hear my point of view. I pray that you will keep my mom and women in business. Done. Thank you.
Done.
It's not fair to do research. You know.
You've been studying up on
that. I didn't know that information.
We learn something in this committee every day.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead, please.
I don't even know where to go. Everybody's kind of hit everything, but, you know, House Bill.
We have a saying here, everything's been said, but not by us. So
that is very true.
And name?
My name is Heidi Brancato. I am Macy's mother.
You would be very proud.
I am so proud of her. Okay. Ooh. So House Bill 2105 states that skincare is skincare, whether it's above or below the seventh vertebrae. We have allowed licensed estheticians to legally provide additional skincare services that consumers seem to want while also providing more consumer protection. House Bill 2642 is creating a new board and a new certification process to continue to allow estheticians to perform the non-ablative laser treatments and other advanced aesthetic procedures that consumers seem to want. It protects consumers, creates jobs, and elevates the profession of aesthetics. I am going to have a drink of that water. Thank you. Skincare specialists are the ones that started this rapidly growing industry and introduced new technology. At the time, and I'm not trying to put anybody down or point fingers, but at the time, doctors really didn't have an interest in it. Every year, there's new advancements, there's new techniques, new procedures, new equipment, all for the purposes of beautification of the skin, whether it's laser tattoo removal. And there are plenty of machines out there that are non-ablative, that do not make you bleed, that will not cut your skin. So,
I'm going to keep my tattoo for the record.
I'm almost willing to do it for you.
I think you ought to not make that decision.
Yes, okay.
But we as estheticians, we are the experts when it comes to skincare. This is something that we do every single day of our life, all day long. We are not in the hospitals performing surgeries. We are not, you know, treating, diagnosing, or you know, writing prescriptions. We are trying to help men and women beautify their skin, getting rid of little broken capillaries that are on their skin that a little laser, like, you know, a curling iron can do more damage to us than our lasers can do. If I was to curl my hair with a curling iron and accidentally drop it on my chest, guess what? I'm going to have a burn here that's going to leave a scar for the rest of my life. I could shave my leg with a razor and have a scar on my leg for the rest of my life that will never go away. Our lasers aren't doing that. I realize that there are people out there that probably aren't completely as educated as some of us are, and that's why we want to put together a House bill. I really wasn't 100% in favor of doing a separate entity for aesthetics because I've been in the dental field for so many years, and I know that there are expanded duties that we can do. We can, you know, as, okay, a certified dental assistant. I don't know if anybody has any dental background on the board. Oh, sure. Okay.
Just a little.
Didn't research everybody.
You have a surgeon and a dentist you're talking to here.
And so, you know what? I'm better than both of them because I stayed a Holiday Inn on a regular
So you know that there are a lot of procedures that you can't sit in that room and do. So that's why we went off and we did the expanded functions, you know, of a dental assistant. And that continues to grow. There are more procedures that we are allowing dental assistants to do because the doctor he's got things we've got to do. We've got to keep our practices running. We've got to make, you know, we got to survive, and we got to pay. How many people's bills are you paying? How many's car payment? You know, so there's, I don't know where I just went off on that. But also as a hygienist, you know.
Finish now, up, please.
Yeah. So now you can see that there's hygienists that go out there on their own. So basically, you know, there's different avenues that we can take, but the House bill is definitely one that will help regulate. Okay. So really quickly, back in 2006, there were over 18,000 practicing estheticians, averaging over $50,000 a year. That equaled $900 million for our state, just estheticians on their wage. So currently, there's only 14,000. I think I heard somebody say 12, but I thought I did my research, that there was over 14,000. That's a substantial money to take away from our already suffering economy. I don't need to get into that, but if this bill isn't passed and we don't find a way to revise or define a new pathway, we are not only taking it away, but we've also opened the door for over 14,000 added unemployment claims, food stamp cases, people that are going to have to go on Oregon medical insurance, just welfare in general. I mean, most of us are single moms that are supporting our children. They're looking up to us. I'm not going down without a fight. And I'm going to set a good example. I'm going to continue to do this for my children and the children moving forward because it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
There's a lot more in there, but I'll just stop.
You can send it in to us. We'll be happy to put it on the record.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Can I ask Ms. Mercer to come up? I do want to make a point. I can assure you this is not a grab by the medical board. I've been fighting with the medical board over the past 10 years to take more interest in things that are happening outside the scope of physician where there are some really, in my mind, bad examples of practice of medicine without a license. Their position has been, if they're not a physician, we can't do anything about it, but their position has been changing. You know, the issue of scarification, putting strings on somebody's back, and a variety of things that are clearly inappropriate. So this is really not a grab from the medical board, I can assure you that.
And we need our medical doctors. I send thousands of clients to my plastic surgeon and our dermatologist in town, and they support us and they endorse us. You know, spray tanning is a good example. We don't want people using tanning beds, so spray tanning is an alternative. It prevents skin cancer. We can't diagnose or treat, but when we see something on somebody's skin that we know is questioning, we need you. We need our doctors so that we can send them back. Go get this checked. Please go get this checked. This is not something that I can handle. You know, we need to seek medical attention.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Holly, will you join us for a minute?
Chair Greenlick, vice chairs, members of the committee, my name's Holly Mercer. I'm the director of the Health Licensing Office. I think just to kind of summarize, it wasn't a land grab from the medical board. It was actually my decision based on what I felt was a consumer protection issue to take a proposed rule to the board, to the cosmetology board, to ban laser services. It is unbelievably one of the few mistakes I've made. I've made many mistakes. That one was a very impactful mistake, and we learned very quickly with the feedback that we received from all of these licensees that we needed to slow it down, do an assessment, stand back, figure out how we could approach this. So we went into a rules advisory committee, and many of the people that testified today were on that rules advisory committee, engaged. They spent time, a lot of effort away from their businesses, and we learned a lot. And one of the things that we learned is that our current statute for cosmetology is actually somewhat restrictive, and it did not provide the latitude that this group felt they needed to move this advanced aesthetics license forward. So we had, I believe, four meetings of the Rules Advisory Committee, physicians, business owners, estheticians, educators, and we could not get where we needed to be. So the ad hoc group broke off from that, met with some representatives, and put this bill together. And what I think you have before you, it doesn't replicate at all what it will look like in the end, because we've had a few meetings with legislative council address some of the issues that clearly came up during the Rules Advisory Committee. And I feel this is not a small group of people. You've had other bills before you to discuss boards that have less than 100 potential licensees. There's over 14,000 estheticians in this state. It's estimated from the state.
Are they mostly licensed cosmetologists?
So aesthetics is a field of practice under cosmetology. So they can have up to four types or five types, actually, fields of practice under that license. But they are specifically licensed as estheticians. And what we estimate, and from the stakeholder group, is up to 25% of that 14,000 may be interested in this advanced aesthetics license. So it's not, and in fact, if we had 25%, it would be one of our largest boards under our 12 boards. Yeah. So it's been an interesting development as we've gone through some of the challenges. I think that they've tried to meet some of the concerns that have been expressed from the medical community, from the business community, and it's been very helpful to go through the process. We did not land on an administrative solution, and I know Representative Hayden has asked that, you know, in other appearances that we've had here. And I think that this group gave it every chance they had. We tried, but we kept rubbing up against the statutory language. So we felt that we needed to bring something different forward.
And I know you can't endorse a bill specifically, but is it your opinion that this bill would help you deal with the job that you need to deal with?
So, Chair Greenlick, representatives on the committee, I think that what consumers have needed in this field is clarity, and it's for consumers and for all of our licensees. And we have had there was a document in 2008 called Facial Forward. It did not get legal reviewed. It was put out there. I think there was an understanding from some of the business owners and practicing estheticians that the usage of lasers was broader than maybe the statute allowed. So that's why the board rescinded that document, because we needed, knowing what we know now about this business and the advancements that it's made, we felt that we needed to provide some clear lines. And I do think that this bill, and being neutral, is a really good attempt to draw those clear lines.
And you'll stay with the process of keeping an eye on the amendments and getting it to us as it goes forward.
Yes, we have been involved in that, sir. Yes, we will.
That'd be very helpful. Thank you. Any comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yes.
Holly, thank you.
I know the stuff you have to delve into. You've always been a great help, and I trust your opinion on this stuff more than lots of people that come up. So I appreciate you taking care of this issue and working with all of them and getting a solution that sounds like it's going to work for everybody. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank everyone who testified. It was very, very powerful, especially you. Brought me to tears. And thank you, Holly, for working with them. This is one of the best state agency people that we have, and I feel very confident going forward.
Thank you. I want to echo that. It's really great when folks come down. In some ways, it's very exciting and very threatening, but we're really trying to keep it light so it's a little easier on you. We do appreciate you, and we listen very carefully, as you can tell. So with that,
thank you, sir.
I'll thank you, Holly, and I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2642. Madam Administrator, is there anything else that comes before us today?
Not today, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Friday, I think we have a work session on the bill. I think we have a full agenda on Friday.
We have some 4 mental health bills, I believe, and a couple of work sessions, maybe. Two work sessions. No, that's today. I'm sorry. 2 work sessions and 4 public hearings.
Okay.
So it's a full day.
Full day on Friday. Thank you all very much for your attention. We are adjourned.